I'll close with this story. On a dangerous seacoast, where a great deal of shipwrecks happen, there was a little life-saving station. The building was older and primitive, and there was just one boat. But the members were committed, and they kept constant watch over the sea. When a ship went down, they would unselfishly go out day or night to save the lost. Because so many lives were saved, the station became well known. Consequently, many people wanted to associate themselves with this station by giving their time and their talent and even money to support the important work. New boats were bought, new crews were recruited and trained. As the membership in the life-saving station grew, some of the members became unhappy at the fact that the building was older and primitive, at the fact that the equipment was outdated. They wanted a better place to welcome survivors. So they replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in the enlarged and newly decorated building. Now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members. They met regularly, and when they did, it was apparent that they loved one another. They greeted and hugged each other, and they shared with one another their life events. But fewer members were now interested in going to the sea on life-saving missions. So they've hired lifeboat crews to do this for them. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought into the life-saving station boatloads of cold and wet and dirty, sick and half-drowned victims. Some of them had black skin, and some had yellow skin. Some could speak English well, and others could hardly speak it at all. Some were first-class cabin passengers, and some were deckhands. The beautiful meeting place became chaos. The plush carpets got dirty. Some of the nice furniture got scratched. So the property committee immediately had a shower built outside of the building where the victims of shipwreck could be cleaned before they came inside the building. At the next meeting, there was a rift in the membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities, for they were unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal fellowship of the members. Other members insisted that life-saving was their primary purpose and pointed out that they were still called a life-saving station, but they were finally voted down. The new station experienced the same changes that had occurred in the old. It evolved itself into a place to meet regularly for fellowship, for committee meetings, and for special training sessions about their mission, vision, and purpose. But few went out to the drowning people. The drowning people were no longer welcomed in that new life-saving station. So another life-saving station was founded just further down the coast, and history continued to repeat itself. The coastline now has an adequate number of meeting places with ample parking and plush carpeting. Shipwrecks are frequent in those waters, but most people drown. This is a parable of the condition of the modern church. Now, here are the questions that every church needs to regularly ask itself. One, has this church become more concerned about something, anything, than about God's glory, obedience to His word, and lost souls? Second, is this church more interested in having meetings and programs while neglecting the divine mandate? Three, is the church more interested in the personal comfort than about those drowning in the sea of sin just beyond its walls? Four, is the church more concerned about the color of a man's skin than they are about the condition of his soul? Five, are we the type of church that wants to see people come into the church as long as they are the right kind of people? But you understand why I say that all churches need to be regularly asking themselves those questions. Because the moment we can't answer those questions properly is the moment we are no longer a life-saving station. We're just a meeting place for members to gather and have programs and coffee.